We're going to jump into and close out our series for You Asked For It. And again, on the survey, and then recently that we did the survey in Easter, and then just recently, I've had some discussions with some people. It just seems to be a topic at hand about praying, about talking to God. But the other side of that question they always ask is they ask this question of how do I hear God's voice? You know, it's sad, in fact, that this is true, but there are a lot of churches who are teaching and that say that when the last apostle died in the New Testament, that God closed up shop. He just decided to stop talking. Like, if I don't have any apostles, then I'm just going to be quiet, and you're just on your own, you have my word, and nothing else. That's just not true. The Bible is very clear that God still speaks, that He hasn't closed up shop. The Bible is clear that God still heals, He still communicates with us, He still wants relationship with us. So if you say, this would be my question to those who say, well, God closed up shop. But you can't say God closed up shop and say God wants to have a personal relationship to get to know you. Because it's kind of hard to get to know somebody if you do all the talking and they don't talk back, correct? So then we ask this question of, if God has stopped speaking, how do we have a personal relationship with Him? How do we get to know the person who wants to know us better? See, the Bible says that God's voice can be like a booming thunder, loud and very clear. Sometimes it can be that still, small, soft voice inside that sometimes you, even we, when we talk to our kids, if they're really in trouble, you give them their full name and it's in a loud voice, right? And then there's sometimes when they need, maybe you have a nickname or a pet name for them, or you just use their first name and they need to be cared for, and it's a soft, tender voice. You see, God covers that gamut. And John tells us that it's a voice that we can all know. So look at this in John chapter 10, verse 1. It says, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep recognize his voice and then do what? They respond to it. They come. He calls his sheep by name. In other words, there's that personal relationship. I want to get to know you close enough that I can know you each by name, and I'm going to lead you out. And then verse 4, it says that after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. He leads them, and they follow his voice because what? They know it. It's familiar to them. Look what it says in verse 5. It says, they don't follow a stranger. Why? Because they don't know his voice. The best analogy I can come up with is think of somebody who's the closest to you. Maybe a spouse. If you're not married, maybe a best friend. Somebody you've known all your life. And, you know, today, for those of you, let's say under the age of 40 probably, there was a time when you had to talk on this thing called a telephone that was attached to a wall that had these little numbers that you had to spin, and there was no caller ID. There was no, if you wanted to screen your calls, you just couldn't answer any of them. We called that just putting it on busy. We just take it off the hook and everybody get a busy signal. Nobody could bother you. I wish we could do that today, actually. But especially then, when you didn't have caller ID, you could say, hello. And if it was Melanie calling me, I would immediately know who she was. Why? Because I recognize her voice. We used to laugh with her mom and dad because her maiden name is Kutz, K-U-T-Z. And they had an instant junk call screener in their last name. And so immediately you'd answer the phone and go, hello. And the person calling, the telecommunicator person, would say, hey, is Mr. and Miss Kutz there? And they would just hang up because it wasn't a voice they knew. It was obvious I don't know you because you didn't call me by the right name. There was no relationship there. Again, the Bible is clear that God still speaks, and when He speaks, we can hear and respond to His voice. Even in my own life, I can tell you, and these are some things that I think we as Christians, you as sons and daughters of God, you need to believe because you've experienced it. But if you haven't, I'm going to ask you to trust me. In my own life, and I'm sure Melanie could give you instances of hers, and there's one I'll tell you in a second that God kind of spoke to both of us. I didn't kind of, he really did. But there have been periods in my life when I was finishing my undergrad and I was thinking about going to Oral Roberts to get my master's, and I just about talked myself out of it. Anybody ever felt that? Like, you know what you need to do, you know this is what I got to do, and then you just reason your way right out of it. And I went to a church service and walked into the church service, and a man I had never met, I'd never seen before, I didn't even know who he was, looked at me and said, whatever you're supposed to do, God told you to go do it. I had the same look y'all did. That deer in headlights, like, what just happened? And I'm looking around thinking, okay, well, somebody whispered to him, somebody told him something. No. God had to use for me something that stark. This man doesn't know you. And he wasn't weird about it. He didn't flutter his eyes and flail around. He just looked at me and said, hey, whatever you're supposed to do, God said you're supposed to do. Just as clear as day. How many of you know I went to ORU? I was like, oh, I need to leave now. I was scared. I was like, it really kind of freaked me out. There was another time that, if you don't know this about Melanie and I, we lived in California with her parents for about a year. And we were helping her church out there kind of get some things in order. And I remember one day walking from an upstairs office to downstairs to a sanctuary, and I had to go down two flights of stairs, and you had to go downstairs and you hit a landing and then you go down the second step. And I remember, I'll never forget, it was like stepping on a landmine. And I stepped on that landing, and it wasn't out loud, but it was, I felt like I had headphones on and I could hear and nobody else could. And I heard God say, it's time to go home. And I was like, are you kidding me, God? We've only been here like 12 months. I just moved 3,482 miles, and you want me to go home? Okay. And so I got home that afternoon, and this is honest to God's truth. We lived at that time with her parents. I walk in the door, and there stands Melanie, and before I could go, God told me today we're supposed to go home. I was like, y'all better get the U-Haul packed because we're out of here. And God orchestrated it all, and we came home. And it was two of us that God spoke. You can't deny that. And it's just, I think when we learn to be at ease with that, there's many times that I've heard the voice of God, or, you know, that still small voice, and questioned it and had to go to people in authority over me, or go to other believers that I know and trust that have proven themselves to have an understanding and hear and an ear for the voice of God. This is not a spooky spiritual thing. This is not a, ooh, God spoke to me. This should be as normal as I talk to you, you talk to me. It should be the same way when we talk to God. And it's not, and it should be, because there's things in our lives that I think make it hard to hear. And I'm going to break them down like into three big categories, because there's just too many to break up. But I'm going to give you these three first, and then we'll talk about, well, how do I do it? The first thing, things that make it hard to hear his voice. The first thing is busyness. I say it all the time, and every time I say it, I can hear myself in previous messages and previous things that I've told people about what to do about it. Well, why haven't you been at church? Well, I've been too busy. That's code for I'm not getting out of bed, I'm lazy. Did that hurt, or are y'all mad at me now? Right? I've just been too busy. Because we all are busy. If you look at Melanie and I share a digital calendar on our phone, and if you look at our calendar, there's something listed every day, something always going on. Like, it's just part of life. We even tell people how busy we are, and sometimes it's a badge of honor, right? I got to work 60 hours this week. I've got a ball tournament. I've got this. I've got that. And we, like, look at all that I'm accomplishing. And God's saying, yeah, but most of your problem is self-inflicted. And we can't even focus on one thing because we stay so distracted. There's an example in the Bible, and Mary and Martha are sisters, and Jesus shows up at her house, and this is in Luke chapter 10. And Mary sits herself at the feet of Jesus, and she's what? Say this word, she's what?
Listening.
She's listening. She's listening. She said, yeah, all this other stuff great, but I got the man here. I'm going to sit and listen. Listening to what he taught. But then Martha the sister was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. There's always something. There's always something to get in the way, always something to say, hey, pay attention to me. We stay so distracted. And I even put mine down this morning. I was reaching for my phone. I put mine down so I wouldn't do it. These screens. And we can say adults, it's the kids. But how many of you have been to a restaurant and seen a table across and there'd be four or five people in a family sitting there and all of them are like... And then the waitress stands there like, can I take your order? Hello? We're just so distracted. And I say that, me doing the same thing. Even Melanie and I sitting in the couch yesterday, I got back, had gone hunting and got back, and I was watching a football game, and I look over. I've got a phone in front of me. She's got a phone and a laptop. Not me, her. And I just thought, you know, it's right. Like, neither one of us are even watching what's on, and the TV was on. Then I think about a child, or I think about even God trying to say, hello, hey, hello. Did you hear that? You know, or Melanie, did you hear that? Right? We stay so busy and we stay so distracted. The Bible actually tells us King David in Psalms, who wrote most of the book of Psalms, in Psalms 46, writes this. He says, be still. Notice the order. Be still and then what?
No.
Be still first and know. Without giving anybody away, I know some of y'all have toddlers. Anybody have a toddler that just never stops? A child that's like, where did the batteries come from? And what do you say when you're trying to tell that kid something? And they're just, what do you say to them? Be, stop moving, focus, right? See, we do the same thing with God. Or God does with us. God says, is that me? There we go. Is it better? God says to us, hey, slow down, stop, be still. Just get to know me. Yet we can't slow ourselves down. We can't slow ourselves down to listen. And here's the bottom line. I'm just going to give it to you like it is. Or you want me to lie to you? Okay, here we go. Here's the truth. You just got to make time. And the way you make time is something else has got to go. Because unless you've figured out something I haven't, how many hours are there in a day? And how many minutes in an hour? 60. And how many seconds in a minute? 60. Can anybody add to that? Can anybody change that? Can anybody be like God and stop the sun and give us an extra time of day? No. Therefore, if you have the busyness and you're distracted and you need to make room for God, you need to maybe drop something. Maybe push some things aside and say no for now. And I can't tell you what that is. God gave you the Holy Spirit. Ask him. He'll tell you. The second thing is crowd noise. Have you ever been in a football stadium and the person that's right next to you, you can't even hear them? You couldn't. Or I'll give you a better one. Ever been in a crowded room and you meet somebody new and you're trying to hear something about their life and trying to get to know somebody, but the room is so loud you can't hear them? But yet then Melanie or your wife or somebody close to you walks up, same room, same volume, same everything, and speaks to you, and you can hear them. It's because it's a voice that we're tuned into. A lot of us, I think, do that to God. We invite him into our room, but we don't make everybody else shut up. We don't make anything else change. I've been in a stadium. I had actually a friend that was at Sanford Stadium in Georgia. Being there with 93,000 people all screaming. 125, 130 decibels, right? If you don't know, that's like sticking your head in the back of a jet engine. That's how loud that is. But then you take all of those people out, you put one on one side of the field, one on the other side, and in a firm, loud speaking voice, you can clearly hear the person on the other side. Because all the distractions removed, all the crowd noise has been removed. We have so many voices surrounding us. Again, screens. Always something pulling us aside. Look what the Bible says. Jesus has begun to invite people to, hey, come join me. Come follow me. And Luke writes this. But they all begin making excuses. One said, I've just bought a field I need to go inspect it. Please excuse me. Don't make me follow you. I can't come right now. In verse 19, it says that another said, I've just bought 5 pairs of oxen. I got to go to work. You don't understand. I got to work. I got to sign this shift and I got to take care of it. Now, I get it. Especially in today. It's not like it used to be where, you know, work was hemmed in between Monday and Friday. Now we got all kinds of weird shifts and everybody's working weird times. That's why we're so fortunate to have a great team in the back that gets us online so you can always be connected. But here they are making an excuse. Please excuse me. I don't know what that is. That's bothering me. I'm going to change mic, guys. Where's my mic? Let's fix this. Hopefully that'll fix it. All right, my ADD is back in order now. they begin to make excuses, and look at this. He said, I bought oxen, and then look at verse 20. He says, oh, I got a wife. Notice he blames it on the woman. But what he's really saying is, hey, I got a family. Anybody's family got you busy? Anybody spend more time running to pick up and drop off than you do anything else? Yes. A lot of it. I was amazed with, we looked at, when before Emma graduated and Melanie was picking up too, how much time a day she just spent sitting in her car waiting to get from one to the other, just to go pick up family. That it's very hard. It's very hard to give God the position to speak because we're so busy. There's so much crowd noise. There's no real way to get God and let him speak. Look at the Bible says in Hebrews. This is out of the God's Word version. I just like the way this says, this reads. It's since we are surrounded by such a cloud of great witnesses, in other words, examples of faith, we must get rid of everything that slows us down, especially the sin or the stuff that distracts us. I'm going to tell you now, it doesn't have to be sin. A lot of it is, but it could just be busy. It could be things with no purpose, no results. Then he goes on to say, we must run the race that lies ahead of us, never give up, and just focus. Focus on Jesus. So listen a little bit. I'm going to tell you this, and this is the truth. I'm going to give it to you like it is. To hear God's voice, you're going to have to turn down the world's volume. And you're going to have to ask God for you what that looks like, because for me and for us, it may be different. I'm one who maybe that you can anybody study in complete quiet? Like you have to have it completely quiet for study. See, I can't do that. I got to have something going. So I always have a TV going or music playing or something. See, you're going to have to ask God, what is it that I need to turn down? Because listening is a choice. And if you've been married for more than 10 minutes, you know that, right? You can look and you can hear, but listening is a choice. Listening to what somebody's saying, listening to what God's saying is a choice. And then the third thing, that is the unprepared heart. Jesus talks a lot about the heart, our hearts being ground and our ground being tilled and ready to receive the word, ready to plant and let him grow in a relationship. He also talks about unprepared ground. Ground that if I threw seeds on this stage and then we come back next year, is there going to be a plant here? It's going to be, if I threw corn down, is there going to be corn here? No, there's going to be what? Seed. Unless somebody comes and picks it up or vacuums it up, it's going to be sitting right here. And a lot of us, sadly, our hearts are more like the stage than they are the fertile ground, because God's been trying to build relationship, trying to plant stuff in our lives that grows more like him, and it just lays here. Matthew writes this in Matthew 13, that when anyone hears the news of the kingdom and they don't take it in, it just remains on the what? Surface. On the surface, on top. And it says, and so the evil one comes along and plucks it right out of the person's heart. It never existed. It's like we just, somebody, oh, maybe a memory, but it's not planted in our lives. That's an unprepared heart. And I got this from a friend that I heard say it several times. He always said, God comes to prepared environments. Let that sit for a minute. God shows up in prepared environments. If you think about, if you've read your Old Testament and you read the New Testament, especially in the Old Testament, before they did anything, before the priests did anything, they had a very strict set of rules they had to go through to prepare themselves, to prepare the what they called the temple, was their church. Everything had to be prepared and ready before God showed up. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, says, let's make a clean break with everything that defiles or distracts us, both within and without us. Let's make our entire lives fit and holy temples for the worship of God. There's some preparation there. There's some understanding there. There's some, hey, I've done the work. I'm pursuing God. The Bible says as you grow closer to Him, He gets closer to you, and His voice becomes clear. I want to do a little experiment, and I hope this works. I'm going to step out on the ledge here. What I need you to do is everybody to stand up, please. If you're able, I need you to stand to your feet. And not yet, but in just a minute, I'm going to play a tone. And only if you hear the tone, sit down. If you don't hear it, stand up. Y'all ready? Everybody understand? If you hear it, sit down. If you don't hear it, stand up. Okay, play the tone. Don't sit down if you don't hear it. If you didn't hear it, stand up. Not the click. Play it again. Not the click. Are we honest? Everybody, is this your judgment? Did you hear it or not? Stand up or sit down. You can't be in the middle. All right. If you're standing up, you're officially old. I can't hear. I planned this out, and I had to come in this morning and get the sound booth crew to, like, is this actually here? Because I can't hear it. Basically, for most people, the time you get in your mid-30s, this is called the mosquito tone. The mosquito tone is at 17.4 megahertz. It was actually developed, get this, by a Scottish security expert. And this hoity-toity shopping mall came and said, hey, we need you to do something because all these little young hooligans are just driving us nuts. They're driving business away. So this Scottish guy figured out that only teenagers could hear that tone. So in the mall, they had it blaring loud. So as soon as the kids opened the door, they would just shut the door and leave. All the old folks couldn't hear it. And it became known actually as the mosquito tone because it's actually the tone, the perfect pitch that drives away mosquitoes. And as you get older, at some point, I actually got me thinking. I went and did an online like hearing test, and I'm at like 16 and a half. So I can hear just under that. And it all depends on all kind of genetics and how maybe anybody who used to listen to the loud rock and roll wide open, you can't hear it. Y'all are all standing there going. But here's the beautiful comparison to what I think the voice of God is. The Bible tells us that it's the faith of a what that moves God? The faith of a child. That if you only had that simple faith of a child. So I truly believe that a lot of kids learn to hear the voice of God. They may not quite figure out what it is. And then as they get older and the tone starts getting, your ability gets lower and lower, and we begin to tune God out. But the beautiful thing about hearing His voice is this. The Bible says you can become like a child and have that simple faith. You can become like a child, have that conversation with God. See, some of us never learn you can hear God. Some of us hear God and don't know what it is. And some of us used to hear God. Then there's the fourth category of people who have heard God, still hear God, and will continue to hear God because of the way they live their lives. Which category do you fit in? Because no matter where you fit, this is the beauty of grace and mercy, whether you've never heard it or you've been listening to it for all these years, the Bible says you can tune God in. I say it as this. I think you can give God, you can tune God's frequency to your ears so that it's so clear that when He speaks, yes, sir, yes, I can respond in the same way you would to a spouse or a friend. There's a prophet, Samuel, in the Old Testament. I want to read this story to you. I'm going to highlight some words, and we're going to actually pull. This is, you're actually going to read the story of of a young man hearing God for the first time. If you've never read the story, this is in 1 Samuel 3. He's a helper in the temple. And God, at this time, if you look at the Old Testament, the timeline, I guess is the best word, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 3, 1 and 2, that God's been quiet for a while, that the voice of God was not heard often during that time. And then it starts with this in verse 3, and it says, the lamp of God had not gone out, and Samuel, who's the young man, was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was. So just take mental note of the lamp, the house, and the ark. Then it says in verse 4, then the Lord called to Samuel, here I am. And he ran to Eli, and he said, hey, you called me. And Eli says to him, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. And next verse, in verse 6, again the Lord called Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli, who was the priest, the prophet of the house. Said, here I am, you called me. Eli said, my son, I didn't call you. Go lay down. Now the third time. Now Samuel did not know the word of the Lord, and the word had not been revealed to him yet. So now a third time, in verse 8, it says, God called to Samuel. Samuel got up, went to Eli, and said, here I am. You called me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, speaking to the boy, to Samuel. Look at verse 9. So Eli told Samuel, go lay down, and if he calls you again, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. In verse 10, the Lord came and stood there calling. I think we need to note there, the Bible says the Lord stood there. That indicates a presence. Calling, just like the other times, it said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel responded, speak, God, for your servant, and say this with me, your servant is
listening.
Okay, you got my attention. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do some things in Israel that will make everyone's ears, the ears of everyone who hears it about tingle. In other words, I'm about to do something big. And here we have Samuel. The Bible says God had not revealed himself yet to him. He'd never heard that voice, hearing that voice for the first time. And I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, that's one of the coolest things to watch. Is watch somebody grow in their faith and come in and go, I heard God. He spoke to me. Not too long, Melanie was having this conversation with our daughter Mabel. And Mabel came out with this big grin on her face, excited. Hey, I asked God and whatever it was about, and I think he talked to me. And it was like she had just discovered something so precious. And we told her, like, girl, you have. Don't ever let that go. If you hear anything, don't ever lose the ability to hear and listen to that voice you heard. So what three things can we take from Samuel? Let me give you these things real quick, and then we'll go enjoy our Thanksgiving week. Things we can do to create this prepared environment in our own lives so that God shows up. Things we can learn from Samuel, and that is God speaks as we read his word. That was the lamp. Well, what does the lamp have to do with it? Because the Bible says this in Psalm 119, 105. It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In other words, if you want to know where to go and want to know where, that's one way God speaks. He speaks to you through his word. That story I was telling you about me moving home, as I went down those steps and I landed on that lowest platform of the step, and I heard God, the landing. I heard God say, it's time to go home. And then a random verse, it was completely random. It wasn't one that I could remember. And so I remember running downstairs and getting the Bible and opening it up. And it was talking about a prophet. And it said of this prophet returned home to Rapha, was the name of the city, returned home to Rapha, and from Rapha his ministry started. I was like, so I get home, before I even get in the door, Melanie says, hey, God spoke to me, and I showed her the scripture, and we were just like, I don't know how much clearer you can get. as we read the word, it confirmed everything that God has told us. The Bible also says in Psalm 119 that I will rise before dawn and cry for help, that I have put my hope in what? That what this says is true, that what my Bible tells me is true, that it's going to lead me and guide me and direct me. This is why we want you to read your Bible, not just so you can check your check mark and make you feel like a good Christian and say, hey, I read my Bible today. I would much rather, if I'm honest as a pastor, I would much rather you tell me, hey, I read two verses a day than somebody who comes to me and says, once a month I read three chapters. Because that every day you're reading, every day you're getting a little bit, every day, because the Bible says as you plant it, the Bible literally says that he brings these things back to your memory. So when you hit that tough situation and you need to know, God, I need you to show me where to go, you can look back and say, Psalm 119 says that, God, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and I need you to just shine some light in front of me right now because I need help or I need some wisdom. I need to know where to go. If you're not doing it, I encourage you, you can jump on to YouVersion. You can look, actually it's on that website. If not, I'll have Melanie or somebody post it on our Facebook page here in a little bit. You can go to YouVersion. You can do the Bible in 1 year, and it gives you a little Old Testament, a little New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb. And if you do it for the year, as we're approaching the new year, you will have read the whole Bible in 1 year. I do different versions of it every year just to move it around. You get a little bit every year. Why? Because God speaks through his word. The second way, God speaks as we cultivate his presence. You got to get used to him being around and the idea that he's here. The Bible tells us that this is the ark. When Samuel laid down, he was in the room where the ark was located. If you don't know the ark, the Bible says the ark was a wooden box, had two angels on it that had their wings pointed like this. And the Bible calls that space between those ark, calls it the mercy seat. And if you read through the Old Testament, it actually says that's where, before we had God with us, that's where the Spirit of God hung out. And that stayed in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And only once a year could a fully clean and prepared priest go in and perform his duties with the ark. The Bible says this in Psalm 89. It says, happy are those who hear the joyful call to worship, for they will walk in the light of your presence. And in Psalm 22, look what it says. It says, you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. One version says you inhabit the praises of your people. And this is the reason that we set our worship feel and lighting and all like it is now. People ask me all the time, why y'all turn out the lights? You can't see nothing. Exactly. Because I don't want you to see any. I don't want you focused on just you and God. Some of you are learning to worship. Some of you are learning, and you know, I laugh because I watch people grow, and we get some of the people, like the first song is usually upbeat, and we'll get, you know, and normally it's the white people. Our black brothers and sisters, they got more of the groove. And then they kind of go, then it's a foot tapping. Right? And then we kind of move, and it's like, ooh, that song's awesome. Yeah. Ooh. Anybody see that? No, because the lights are out. And then you get louder and singing. And what are we doing? We're helping you and trying to create an atmosphere that somebody new can walk in the building and enjoy this and learn. Or you as somebody who's been saved for a long time can come in and just have some time between you and God and worship and sing to him and sing about him. And the Bible says that we lift up the praises. We lift up the praises. See, why, this is why we do this. God wants to hear from you, even in your worship. Let me say this. Whenever you come in here and there's something on your mind, tell him. If you're mad, you're sad, you're happy, you're grateful, you're disappointed, whatever. Say, God, I'm struggling. This is hard. I'm disappointed. Or, God, thank you. I didn't deserve what you did yesterday for me, but you did it anyway. You love me. We pick out the songs to say, and we're going to close with a song today that says, give me faith to trust what you say, to do what you've asked me to do, to respond to it. God, that helps me You talk about building your faith when you hear that voice, or you read that word and God jumps off the page at you. It makes a big difference. Then here's the third one. You can all stand with me if you would. Rest of the team, you guys can come on back. God speaks as you put down roots in the church. Notice this is a C, a capital C. If you're visiting with us today or if you're watching online, we'd love to have this be the place you put down roots. A lot of you have. And we're growing and adding people weekly, really. If it's not here, we need to find you a place where you can plant your life. Because the Bible's clear. He didn't create us to do this alone. He created us to do this as a people. And the way, one of the ways you can hear God and even confirm in your life is you surround yourself with people who you know can hear God. What if I told you that that tone we played? I'm going to play this tone in a minute. And when I play it, if you hear this tone, if you don't hear this tone, everybody's going to just drop dead. Just drop dead. And you were in the category that couldn't hear the tone. What should you do? I'm going to go find me one of these young people and like, bro, you stand right here. And if you hear that tone, you tell me because we got something to do. Right? So why do we not do that with God? Hey, I'm learning. I'm still trying to figure this God thing out. I'm still trying to hear. Go to somebody. And that's what we do in grow groups and small groups. And pull your somebody close and say, listen, I'm praying about this. And if God speaks to you for me, then you better tell me because I can't hear him. I'm still learning. And we pull in close. See, that's what Samuel did. Samuel said, hey, I'm going to lay down in his place. And his place was in the temple where the lamp of the Lord was still guiding him. His word was still guiding him where the ark and the presence of God was. And he planted himself in the church. I hope you hear my heart when I say this. As much as it excites me to have every seat in this building full, and when we're at full capacity, it's exciting. And y'all probably know that. But I don't care about the number. I care about you. And you need to be planted somewhere. You need somebody with you. You need somebody that cares. You need somebody. I've watched this week, the last 2 weeks, we've had several of the mothers who were pregnant have babies, and then I watched their groups all take care of them. Several weeks ago, Melanie lost her mom, and people just began to call, and food started showing up, and like, we didn't even go anywhere. Like we were at home, and y'all started blessing and taking care of us and feeding us, and it's the church, it's God's people, and the way we complain about God speaking to us, but then we don't go hang out with the people that can hear him, or surround ourselves with the people that will help us hear him. Connect with God and his people on a dream team or in a grow group. Become more familiar with his voice. We'll close with these two verses. Look at this. The Bible says in Psalm 92 that my eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. God, I'm seeing what you're doing. And then it says, and my ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. And verse 12 says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Those trees are planted. They're planted down deep. You got to have some very special, high-tech, big equipment to transplant a full-grown tree. But if you walk out into the woods and go in my property next to my house, there's a bunch of little tiny trees getting up. A big tree, small tree. Which one can I walk over and pull out of the ground? That small one. Which one is healthier? Because it's planted down deep, the big tree. It says they'll flourish. Then in Psalm 27, this is out of the old New King James Version. I love the way this reads. It says, one thing, God, I desire of the Lord. And this is, it says, I'm going to seek this. And he says these two things. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my life. I behold the beauty of the Lord. And he says, and I get to talk to God. So you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. God, I thank you that we can have a conversation with you, that you haven't closed up shop, that God, you speak back to us. God, I even believe you have a sense of humor. God, you laugh with us, you cry with us. God, thank you that we can do that with you. God, for those in the room who say, well, I need to meet this Jesus. God, I don't even know what you're talking about. The Bible's fairly simple. It says that Jesus came for you. He died for you, rose again, now seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says if you confess it with your mouth, you believe it in your heart, whether you're in the room or watching online, that simple statement of, God, I believe. Jesus, you are who you say you are. And God, I'm going to walk in faith. I confess it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart. The Bible says salvation is yours. Now it's time to begin listening and growing in that relationship. And you can do that right where you are. I'm not going to call you front. You can do that. You can grab a card in front of you and check it. Say, hey, I made this decision, so we can send you some next steps. And before we sing, I want to give you this last thing for all of you who say, I've been saved for a while, but I've never heard God. I want you to ask. I want you to say, not now, but you take some time, sometime this week, maybe tomorrow, and say, God, I want to hear you. But let me caution you. If you say that, you better be ready to listen. Because God's not a liar, and he will talk to you. And talking is not the problem. Listening is. And we're going to choose to do that. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, let me bless you, and then we're going to sing this last song, Give Me Faith. God, I thank you again that we can hear your voice, follow you. God, I bless all of our family that's traveling, all traveling this week. Maybe they're already on the road. God, that you bless them as they travel. You give them a great time and a great experience with their family or whatever it is they're doing for this Thanksgiving week. God, that you bring them all home safely this weekend, that you begin to even move on our hearts about who we can invite and who we can bring with us to at the movies next week. And God, we thank you that even during this time of craziness as we enter into the holidays, God, as we take a breath, turn down the volume of the world and listen, that Daddy, you speak. And God, we listen and respond. And we thank you for it now, Father. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,